Here he comes in studio, Olympic gold medalist, Pittsburgh's own, Kurt Angle.
Hey, Larry. Glad to be on your show, man.
And a proud graduate of Clarion University.
Yep, Clarion University alum of 92.
We love the fact that you went to Clarion. And for those that don't know, for being a smaller school, Division One wrestling.
So they had a really good wrestling team, yes.
Proud tradition. And then, of course, when you – I remember where I was. I didn't get to see it in real time, but I remember we were listening and – Kurt Angle got the gold, never knowing the backstory or someday we'd get to meet, but so proud of you and that achievement.
Thank
you know, for your country. Yeah. I can't imagine the moment. And the secret in the moment was you did that with a broken neck.
Yes. It was the proudest moment of my life, winning the gold medal. I wanted to achieve that goal since I was 7 years old. And it was a bumpy road. I mean, at one point in time, 6 months before the Olympics, my Olympic coach was shot and killed, John DuPont. Or not John DuPont, David Schultz. And Dave was my Olympic coach.
He
was the wrestler and the coach for Foxcatcher, the
movie.
I actually saw that movie. Yeah, so he was my coach, and I didn't have a coach the last 6 months of my career, but Dave taught me enough to know what I had to do from here on in, so I trained myself the rest of the way, and on the way there, a couple months later, I was at the U.S. Open, the first round of the Olympic trials, and I got thrown on my head, and I broke my neck, and I didn't know it at the time, so I kept on wrestling. My neck was in excruciating pain, my arms went completely numb. And I barely won the semifinals, and I went on to the finals later on that day and wrestled with my neck in the same condition. And I barely won the finals. So I went home the next day, and I went to my doctor. He took an MRI of my neck, and he said, listen, you have 4 broken vertebrae in your neck. You have 2 discs sticking directly in your spinal cord, and you have a badly bruised spinal cord. He said, you can't wrestle anymore. You're done. You're finished. And I was devastated, but me being a stubborn person I am and a person who would never give up, I went to another doctor to get a second opinion. And this doctor said the same thing, but he also said, when is the next round of the Olympic trials? I said, 6 weeks. He said, you know what? I might be able to get you ready by then. I said, well, what's your plan? He said, well, you're not going to be able to train much up until then. You're going to have to let your neck rest and heal. It won't be entirely healed by then, but it'll be healed enough that you can still go. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a doctor travel with you, and the doctor's going to stick you with 10 different shots of Novocaine all throughout your neck. Therefore, you won't feel the pain, you'll forget your neck is broken, and you'll wrestle more freely. But he said, I'm warning you, an hour after your matches are over, you're going to be in excruciating pain from the abuse your neck takes during those matches once the Novocaine wears off. And you know what? I actually re-broke my neck in the trials because of the abuse I took on my neck. So I had to let it rest and heal after that to get ready for the Olympics. But anyway, I won the Olympic trials. I ended up going to the Olympics. And the rest was history. I did the same thing at the Olympics. The doctor shot me on the neck 10 to 12 different times with Novocaine 5 minutes before each one of my matches at the Olympics. It worked extremely well, but it wasn't an easy road.
I can't imagine then, after winning, you standing there with that gold medal around your neck with the Star Spangled Banner playing. What was that moment like for you?
Standing on the podium with the national anthem playing for me, my family and the crowds are very proud of me, and the gold medal wrapped around my neck, it was the proudest moment of my life. It really was. It's something that I set out to do as a kid, and going through the obstacles I had to go through that final year, it was a very emotional time for me. I broke down and I cried because I didn't know if I was going to be able to go to the Olympics. I thought, you know, my neck and the injury was going to refrain me from being able to go. But I hung in there and I had a no quit attitude, and I stayed on course, and I didn't disappoint myself or anybody else.
No, you didn't. We're very proud of that accomplishment. You know, when a Pittsburgher does anything, we claim some credit. But
you guys gave me a parade the next day. I mean, you had 24 hours to set it up, and I had a parade downtown. A couple hundred thousand people came. It was incredible.
It was. Yeah. I remember that. I was there. We're with Kurt Angle, and Kurt, you have this arc of that you're after the Olympic gold. It was a while, though, physiologically, though, you had these challenges, but then you got into the other wrestling game.
Yes, the pro wrestling.
And in
sports
entertainment. For those who don't realize how physical it is, mm-hmm. It is still unbelievably challenging.
Yeah.
And I have the late Bruno Sammartino talked once about football players play a game once a week for a period of time. You guys were go, go, go night after night.
Every day, especially when Bruno wrestled. Back then when they had territories, they wrestled seven days a week and twice on the weekends. So they wrestled 9 matches in 1 week. By the time I got there to WWE, we were wrestling about 5 to 6 a week. So it wasn't nearly as bad, but we still were wrestling 300 days a year. And I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, when you get slammed on that plywood, it's plywood. I mean, it's like getting hit from behind going 60 in an accident. You know, your neck whiplashes and your back, your back's in excruciating pain. And when you're running in the ring, they're plywood, so the boards are bouncing. Your knees become like shock absorbers, and then your knees start to go. And it was the most brutal form of sport I've ever been involved in. I was in football my whole life, wrestling my whole life, but pro wrestling was the hardest, most physically demanding sport I've ever done. Even though there's a predetermined winner, everybody knows that. You know that.
Right, but it's still
fake to a certain degree. Yes,
still physical.
It's still really physically demanding
beyond belief. Well. We want to talk about your, by the way, WWE Hall of Famer.
Thank you.
But you've had your challenges, and that's part of why you're here, is to encourage other people that you can overcome those challenges. There is hope. There are ways to change your life because you hit some hard times.
Yes. You know what? The second time I broke my neck 4 times in the WWE, and I broke my neck before the Olympics. But the second time I broke my neck, which was the first time in WWE, a doctor introduced me to painkillers. And the first pill I took, it was like I had this euphoric feeling. And I was like, I really like these. And it hid the pain. It masked the pain from my neck and everywhere else. And the painkillers are dangerous. And I'll tell you all, they're addictive and they can kill you. And I'll explain why. I was taking one every 4 to 6 hours. And after a while, your body builds a tolerance. One doesn't work anymore. Then you have to take 2. Then 2 led to 4. 4 led to 8. Before I knew it, I was taking 65 extra strength Vicodin a day.
A day?
I was deeply addicted. Not only that, but I was getting injured quite a bit, which didn't help with the painkiller problem.
Well, I want to know how you were able to save your life, change your life. When we come back, we'll have more with Kurt Angle. Really appreciate you being here, because this is a situation that so many families, almost every family, has either a family member or friend dealing with
these issues. Yes.
And most of them didn't go out to use drugs or to become addicted in this way.
No.
So we'll have more with Kurt Angle. The 2, it's Marty Griffin. We'll check in with Marty in just a moment. And we continue our conversation with Olympic gold medalist, wrestling champion, and Pittsburgher, Kurt Angle. Good to have you back in the Berg. For those that don't know, you live here.
Yes, I live out near the airport. I have to live near the airport because I'm always traveling.
You do travel still quite a bit.
Yeah, still probably 3 or 4 days a month.
So you're retired from active performing and wrestling, right?
Yes, I'm not entirely retired.
No, but you're still out there doing a lot. And in fact, the reason you're here is a mission to help other people.
Yeah.
By utilizing, now before the break, we talked about how it happened with your pain and broken neck that you found these, and we've come all too familiar with the opioids, the painkillers.
Right. Yeah.
And you said at one point you were taking
65 extra strength Vicodin in a day. I was out of control. Thing is, you know, your body builds a tolerance to them. So I just got myself so deep into it that there was no way out.
I'm just guessing, Kurt, like you, the passion and drive you have, which is so unique, that everything you do with full gusto.
Yeah, and that was one of them, my addiction. And I'm not going to lie to you, I absolutely love my addiction. It was first priority in my life, even though it ruined my life at the time. That's the one thing that I prioritized. And, you know, at one point in time, I was also drinking lots of alcohol. I was mixing both of them. And I ended up getting 4 DUIs in 5 years. My life spun out of control. I lost my reputation, everything I worked for. I was at the lowest point in my life. And I remember calling my wife from jail after my 4th DUI, and she said, I can't do this anymore. You either go to rehab or I'm taking the kids and I'm leaving. And I didn't want to lose my wife and my kids, so I figured I'd go to rehab, you know, make her happy, and, you know, after rehab, I might go back to the pills.
Yeah.
But when I got into rehab, I was scared to death. I was like, I'm going to mess up when I leave here. And I took it very seriously, and I kept calling my wife every night and talking to her, and we were both struggling with, you know, what was going to happen after I got out. And I just remember picking my wife and my kids over my addiction, and it wasn't easy. But I absolutely love my addiction just about as much or more than anything else. But I chose my wife and my kids over my addiction. That, my love for my wife and kids was stronger than my love for my addiction, so I quit.
How did you do that?
There's
grace people listening right
grace
now, Kurt, that are praying for their brother, sister, relatives to find a way for hope.
Well, first off, you have to go get help. You can't beat it on your own. You got to go get help, especially go to a rehab center. You're going to get educated in there. They're going to teach you the tools you're going to have that's necessary for staying clean when you get out. And you just have to follow the rules, follow the you know, they have the 12 steps, and make sure you follow the 12 steps, and go to AA, as much as you want, as much as you have to. But it eventually gets easier. Okay, it's difficult when you get out of rehab, and it gets easier and easier. Every year that you stay clean, you start forgetting about the drugs, and then eventually you don't have any desire to use them anymore. To this day, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm injured. I mean, I got my knees replaced, back surgery, 4 neck surgeries. I have to have 2 shoulder replacements. I'm always in pain, but I've learned how to control that pain, and I do like core training and anti-gravity and traction and stretching and yoga to take care of my body so I don't have to take the painkillers. Don't get me wrong, I would love to take some painkillers, but I just can't. I know that's not an option for me.
How long have you been sober from painkillers now?
Almost 14 years.
Is it been that long?
Yeah.
God bless you, man. Because I remember when you were going through that, say, it's like a cycle. You were as high as you could be legally, and then you went the other way with this addiction, and you have bounced back. And I've seen your wife and kids. You have a beautiful family.
Thank
certainly
you.
Worth
Thank
the sacrifice to be
yes,
here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
And certainly worth encouraging other people to find and seek help.
Oh, yeah, you have to go get help. Nobody can beat it on their own. I tried to do it. Didn't work. I literally, at home, I tried to go cold turkey off the drugs. And 5 days into it, I was in heavy withdrawal. And I felt like I was going to die. And my doctor's like, you need to go to rehab. You know, you're not going to be able to kick it on your own. You're going to have to need assistance. And he was absolutely right.
Well, we're proud of you happy for you.
I appreciate it.
And before you go, what are you working on next?
I mean, okay,
there's got to be a next big
thing. I have
thing.
A real-life movie coming out about my Olympic story that I'm really excited to bring to the table. Ian and Esham Nelms, they're going to be the directors. They directed movies like Mel Gibson's Fat Man and Red Right Hand, starring Orlando Bloom. They've done a lot of great movies. They were former wrestlers in college and high school, so they understand my sport. But I'm really excited to show the world. This is going to be really cool. I'm going to work with them on the set to make sure the movie comes across the way I want it to. But I also wanted to mention, I am an ambassador for USA Wrestling. And I wanted to tell you guys this. You know, many countries like Russia and China and many other countries, their governments pay their athletes to train and compete full time. So they don't have to get jobs. All they have to do is train and compete, and they're taken care of. We don't have that luxury here in the United States. So our athletes, for the most part, have to get jobs. They have to work for a living and train around their work schedule, which doesn't work very well. You're
and
not going to win an Olympic medal.
Full-time
yes, yes. And so I'm here to raise money for USA Wrestling. So go to KurtAngle.org. That's KurtAngle.org. Tap that link. Donate whatever money you can. I promise it will come to good use. I mean, our athletes, they just got done with the 2024 Olympics, and they're already training for the 2028 Olympics.
And around this region, the wrestling passion.
Oh, it's hot here, yeah.
It is.
And the athletes that are this Olympics coming up will be the first Olympics. They started training as well. So I'm here early on to make sure these athletes don't have to get jobs, that they can get they can train and compete full-time and not have to worry about having jobs. So I'm raising money for these athletes so that they have the opportunity to win a medal at the Olympics.
Well, support USA Wrestling, KurtAngle.org, and also appreciate your support of Tunnel to Towers Foundation, too.
Yes, great organization.
Kurt Angle, thanks. So great to see you, brother.
Thanks for having me on.